I wouldn't trade being a mom for the world, but it's also a full-time job. And that means sometimes I get less sleep than I'd like. So I make the most of the hours of sleep I do get with Cozy Earth's luxurious bedding products. Cozy Earth bedding products are crafted with temperature-regulating technology that adapts to your body's needs through all phases of motherhood. And they use only the very best fabrics, materials, and weaves, offering superior softness that invites you to sink into a world of comfort. I have the king sheets for my bed, the entire set, and I swear to you, it's like you can't wait to get in and you never want to get out. If you're a commitment phobe, that's totally fine because Cozy Earth stands by the quality and longevity of their products, so much so that you can enjoy a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty on all purchases. And just for our listeners, Cozy Earth has an exclusive Mother's Day offer. Use the code Jillian for 35% off at CozyEarth.com. That's CozyEarth.com. Cozy Earth, built to last through the hardest days and the longest nights of motherhood.
When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
I actually wanted to talk about anger, and here's why. I've been dealing with it a lot on The Biggest Loser, and it's kind of fascinating to me. You have people that completely deny that they're angry, right? I had this one contestant say to me, "I'm not an angry person," and I was like, "Oh my God, girl, you're so angry. You're furious just about like everything that's happened to her in her life," and she's insane. Complete denial. I have amazing parents. And then, you know, as the story unfolds, you kind of find out that they were extremely far from being amazing parents, which I don't know that amazing parents exist. But when people go, "Oh, my parents are perfect. They're amazing." Then, you know, you're like, ooh, that's bad. You guys, there's no such thing. Yeah. So you're clearly in denial. And then it's like there was another girl that I was working with who was on Dolvet's team. And she's just completely torn because she had a father who was an alcoholic, and you know she hates him for being an alcoholic, but she loves him, and he ended up dying, and she like feels responsible for it on an unconscious level. And I wanted to talk about anger because I think a lot of us women in particular are afraid of their anger.
Certainly.
They're afraid of it.
Yep.
And so what they do is they deny it and they internalize it. They turn it inward. They beat themselves up. They get into self-loathing. They binge eat. They turn to other addictions. And men, these are sweeping generalizations, men tend to externalize it. It could be road rage. It could be, you know, oh God, who knows? But it's like
either
verbal
the
fights, bar fights, or well, the gym's a good tool, which we'll get to in a minute. But and by the way, this isn't necessarily a man-woman thing. There are two ways of handling it if you're going to handle it wrong, which is internalize it and deny it, or subsequently externalize it and it runs out of control. When you externalize it and it's running out of control, you can do terrible things like, sabotage your relationship. If you attack your significant other, get in a fight with your boss and lose your job, get in an argument with somebody on the road and have them shoot you dead. You know, it's that's anger that's out of control. And then anger that's internalized looks like my contestants, frankly. So I want to talk about this because if you are angry And that, by the way, is a normal human emotion. We experience anger for a lot of reasons. Anger is something that we experience as a defense mechanism to feeling hurt.
Right.
You know,
right.
Oh, I hate my dad. He's a jerk. Instead of, oh, my God, I'm devastated. He wasn't the father that I wanted. I'm in so much pain about it. I'm so hurt. I'm so sad. So it's part of a defense mechanism. When you're wronged, you're angry about it. There, you know, it's a normal human emotion. You should have feelings of anger. The thing is what you do with it that matters. And so I wanted to really look at that today and talk about it, because I think also people that don't express anger feel like if they let it out, they'll kill someone. Not literally, but they'll destroy them. Their anger will destroy them. If they express their anger,
it'll be too much.
An endless flood of fury, and they'll bury everyone around them. And they'll if they say to their mother, "Don't do X, Y, and Z to me," they'll destroy her, or their parents, or their sibling. If they set boundaries, if they get angry, that they'll destroy the people around them. They'll hurt them, and then they'll feel guilty, and they'll feel terrible. So they deny the feelings, and they resent more, and they get angrier, and all of that. So the first thing you need to understand is that you're not going to kill anyone with your actual anger. Of course, if you took out a gun and shot them because you're insane, that's a different story. You're not going to kill anybody with your feelings. You're allowed to have your feelings. Don't be afraid of your feelings. One of the best things you can do is acknowledge that you have these feelings and then let them breathe. I think people also worry that if they feel their anger, it will kill them. It will consume them. And if you allow your anger to live and your anger to breathe and let it be something that you sit with for a moment or a while, a day, a month, a week, you essentially show yourself that it's not this destructive force that you thought, and your fear of it goes away. Now, when you deny your anger, yeah, you're probably going to have these explosions of anger. And sure, if you turn around and in a fit of rage, you smack your kid. In a fit of rage, you say something to your significant other and you call them names, or you say something hurtful, or you tell your boss to screw himself. Yeah, that's going to be destructive. Absolutely. And so what I wanted to talk about was ways of managing the anger. There are ways to get those feelings out and temper them so that you can channel them and handle them proactively. I don't want my contestant to turn around and say to her mom, "You suck. You're the worst parent ever and I hate you." No, I don't want her to do that. What I want her to be able to do is to say, "Mom, when you tell me these personal things about yourself and the marriage you had with Dad, it hurts me. It makes me uncomfortable. I've been carrying it around too long. I feel like I have the weight of the world on my shoulders. Please don't share that with me." If her mom doesn't respect it, "Mom, I love you. I'm going to go home. Right. And, you know, I'll see you next time. And when we do, let's talk about something else. Let's talk about a movie. Let's talk about a TV show. Let's talk about something else. You know, Mom, I love you. I'm going to hang up the phone. I don't want to talk about this right now." So that you learn how to channel the feelings into a healthy communication and set boundaries. It doesn't become a verbal assault on the other person. And right. It also doesn't become an internalization and the negating of your needs, which will kill you. I promise. Kill you. Literally. So the first thing, like, you want to go nuts with your feelings. Remember, you know, do you have kids, or when you were a kid, did you say, like, "This is your tantrum mat. Go crazy. Have a tantrum on your mat," or "Hit your pillow. Get really pissed about your pillow." Or, you know, you get to express your feelings about why you're mad and get your feelings acknowledged. Did you ever have that?
My brother and I used to fight each other just because we'd fight each other.
That's not what you're supposed to do, dude.
No, it wasn't like fighting mean, but we'd wrestle, like we'd actually have a match. Like,
oh, you'd get physical. Okay, but you wouldn't like fight and punch each other out.
Well, no, we would fight and punch each other out, but it was a understanding. We are now going to fight. And we'd, you know, boom, boom, pound, pound, pound. But it was...
No!
It was an agreement. And we found that we would get anger out.
Okay, I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't recommend kids punching each other out.
Well,
I was a punching bag.
Well, I was his punching bag and he was mine. But it worked. It worked because we got a lot of anger.
Oh, Lord. All right. Well, you don't...
I'm gonna sit over here. A pillow, a stuffed animal,
an actual punching bag, something like that.
Not your sibling.
But not right. But as an adult, you can do the same thing.
Yes.
So, like, one of the things I say to Lou, like, we have a tantrum mat now. So I'm like, "Okay, bud, let's go to the tantrum mat. Go crazy." So I give her, like, a safe place to just go nutso, right?
And does she?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Rah! And then I do it with her. I'm like, "Oh, I'm so pissed. Ugh." And she's like, "Nah." And then it ends up like she gets it out and it ends up being funny. I'm like, "You done?" She's like,
but what's the impetus to take? What's the impetus?
Like, for example, if there's something she doesn't want to do, right? Like, okay, so last night she wanted a cookie. And I had given her, like, a cookie, right? And I was like, bud, no more cookies. We're done with the cookies. And she was really upset about it. And you're not, they say, you're not supposed to deny them their feelings, right? Their feelings are all they have. Even if you don't think they're rational, that's their reality and their feelings, and it's what they have. Even if you need them to follow the rules, you still have to acknowledge how they feel. So I was like, I get it. You're pissed, man. You want a cookie, and I don't blame you. I want an unlimited amount of cookies, too. But it's not good for us. So you know what? Let's go to the tantrum mat, and let's just have it out, dude. And she's like, you know, the pounding on the ground and the whole thing. And then,
I don't know why. I don't know why that just makes me giggle. I'm not making fun of it, but it makes me giggle.
No, we both have a fit. I have one too. I'm like, I too want a cookie. Why do I get fat? No, I mean, it's like, yeah. So, but as an adult, you kind of need a tantrum mat.
Where do you get these tantrum mats?
You can take, again, this is where your gym suggestion comes in. It's like a great place to have a tantrum mat. Go to a CrossFit class. Go to a boxing class.
Right. Gotcha.
Channel it. That's your tantrum mat. Go bananas. Pound the pavement.
But what does your actual tantrum mat look like?
Lou's tantrum mat?
Yeah, well, yeah, sorry.
It's a
Lou's.
Picture of you.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. My tantrum mat is a picture of Janice. I go over and I pound on it.
Jake, shot.
I'm on the other one.
Yeah. No, just Janice. Oh. A dartboard with someone's face on it.
So it's just a mat.
It's a blanket with a zebra on it that she likes to go nuts on the tantrum mat. So, but that's the thing. Adults need a tantrum mat. And another thing I told my contestants is I was like, all right, write a letter. Just write a letter. We don't have to send it. And God forbid, don't do it on email because then you'll impulsively send it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Write a handwritten letter. And it gives you a way to really express all, like, you're a crappy parent. You're a crappy boyfriend. I hate you. You make me sick. You get it all out on paper. And when you kind of exercise those demons, you've taken the edge off. Then you're able to think rationally. So, again, it's like it's another version of a tantrum mat. It's another way for you to kind of go crazy. It's like spew it out, vomit it up on the page, go nuts in the gym, find a physical outlet for it. And then what I want you to do when that's done is identify the cause of your anger. Try to break the problem or situation down into specific aspects that you can then come up with constructive ways to deal with. Okay. My husband is, who knows, whatever they're doing. You know, he goes out bowling all night with his friends, and I'm here watching the kids. And when he comes home, I'm like, you, right? Attack, attack, attack. Mm-hmm. Or you don't say anything, and you secretly hate him, and you get fat, and you overeat, and you shove your feelings down. Well, all right, go nuts, have your tantrum mat, write a letter. You suck, I hate you, you're a crappy husband, whatever it might be. You know, go for a run, calm down. Why am I mad? Well, I feel like I do all the work around here. He's not doing his share. Okay, figure out what it is, then come up with a solution to the problem that you can offer the other person or possibly create for yourself in your own situation. So when he comes home, he's like, babe, look, I get it. You're out with your friends. You're doing your thing. But I feel like I'm here all the time dealing with this stuff, and I want to go out sometimes. So, like, can we maybe trade off once in a while? Can we get a sitter and I'll go with you? Like, come be constructive. Once you've taken the edge off, look at the things you're mad about, identify the cause, and then try to be constructive with the solution. And if there aren't any, man, go back to your tantrum mat. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you can't be constructive, if life is just sucking right now, go back to the tantrum mat. And if you're caught in a moment, right, where you want to unravel, and I got to tell you, I have to do this with my kid all the time, not Phoenix because he's, you know, 6 months old, but with Lou, holy mother, there are days when you think like, like you just, it's been the longest day and it's everything's no. And, you know, she's being obstinate. And oh my God, there are days when you understand why parents spank their kids. I'll tell you right now. And the number one reason for me why we don't do it, because I know there are parents that do, and I'm not going to judge or say anything. The reason I want to not do it in our house is because I don't want her to think that hitting is okay. I always ask her not to hit, not to bite, to be really gentle, you know, to use her words. So if I don't use my words, how's she going to use hers? But dude, there are moments when I have wanted to swat that butt. I'll tell you, I'm like, I'm going to swat her. I'm going to spank her. And I'm like, I look at Heidi. I'm like, I'm going to spank her. And she's like, babe, go away. Let me deal with it. And I walk away and I take, I swear to God, I do this stupid thing, but it works. I take 10 breaths. I think about why I don't do that, why I don't spank my kid, and how I can calm down, and then what best way to handle it with her. And that's when we go back to the things we've talked about before on the show of like, how can I positively incentivize her to behave? How can I, you know, what else can I do that is not that to handle the situation? So it's a timeout. I'm like, bud, you want a timeout? Hates timeouts. Hates them. So, you know what I mean? But it's take a minute, catch your breath, collect your thoughts, think about and ask yourself, okay, if I go off the hook here right now, what's going to be the end result of this? I'll spank my kid and want to die. I'll feel so bad. Or I'll rip my boss a new one and get fired. Or stop and go, okay, I'm mad. I have every right to be mad right now. I'm justified in my feelings. But if I handle it this way, question yourself. Think it through, right? How does it end up? You and I talk about this with food, and we've talked about it with alcohol. Think through the drink. Think through your impulsive response.
Oh, and what, Jillian, sometimes that's when...
Condition yourself to do it, man. Condition yourself. I've had to condition myself because I was impulsive with my anger and I did a lot of damage that way. So you condition yourself. Okay, whoa, I'm going to freak out. Walk away for a minute and go through the questions. What is my ultimate goal? How am I going to get there? I want this to stop. Or I want that person to see my point of view. Or how can you do it once you calm down, take a breath, go to your tantrum mat, whatever it might be. Take a second, think it through, and then come up with a constructive way to handle it. Because anger is just feelings that are not being communicated. Whether it's you're hurt about something, you feel that you've been infringed upon, your boundaries have been infringed upon. That's what anger is. Mm-hmm. Ultimately, it's like your feelings that are not being communicated. And you got to take that back. But what I don't want you to do, don't internalize it. Don't be afraid of it. Just learn how to manage it in the ways that we've suggested. And if it's something that you're like, no, my God, it's a river of fury. It's an ocean of blackness. Consider getting some counseling to deal with it. But if you don't, let me tell you, 300 pounds later and a heart attack waiting to happen, not cool. Wow. I'm done. I think I'm going to go to the tantrum mat right now.
Well, I'm just glad there was a police officer in the Costco parking lot when I lost it. Anyway, we'll take a break.
Wait, what?
I snap now.
No, you don't.
I do.
You don't.
I snapped at a woman at the in the produce section last year, and I snapped in the Costco parking lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, snap. Like, snap a, am I...
Yeah. Yeah, well, they probably triggered some. She was probably being inconsiderate, and you hate
that.
She
was. She was being inconsiderate to my mom. It was when my mom was still alive.
Yeah, see,
and
there you go.
She was, and she got to quite, the apple section was never the same at the grocery store.
I got out of the car once when someone called my mom a bitch or something. I got out of the car. I was 20-something at the time, but I got out of the car, and I was like, you know, me, this little black belt, thinking I'm going to beat this guy's ass. My mother was hysterical. And I realized I scared her so bad. And I was like, what the F, dude? I was 20-something. And by the way, he could have shot me. My mom was totally right. He could have punched me in the face and broken my nose. I mean,
but isn't that something, though? But inconsiderate. There is something about
it. I know,
that.
But it doesn't matter. You got to pull yourself together and think it through. You got to. The things that really helped me with that now, to be totally honest, I was having this conversation with Pink once. And she also is kind of like, she has the anger inside. And she's like, I'll tell you, man, you know, there were days I'd have hocked a loogie on somebody. She's like, now I just think, I'm going to lose my house. And I go, huck. She swallows it. Because you can't do that stuff. You know, you'll get sued. You lose everything. You can't pull it off anymore. Got to grow up at some time.
Well, I'm going to go buy a portable tantrum mat.
Yeah.
Carry it with me in my backpack.
And
That was very interesting.
I know.
Yeah.
There's a reason I get paid the big bucks.
I know. Okay, we'll be right back.
I might do a little segment, a little segaroo, a little segmento about recovery, fitness recovery. Hmm?
I need that right now because now that my knee is getting very healthy, I've been hitting it very hard.
Whoa.
And holy talikoluka. I took TRX for the first time since my injury.
Oh.
Thought I was going to die.
Thought you were going to die.
Yep. And I didn't recover enough time in between.
Yeah.
I just kept working out, working out.
Oh.
And now I'm very, very sore. I'm having a lot of problems.
Okay. Let me see if I can help.
Okay.
All right. Well, number one, you did that wrong. So one of the reasons that this is my issue, and of course I can be guilty of it with some of my fitness DVDs, which is another reason I try to create three or four workouts on a solo DVD, because you do want to avoid doing the same things over and over and over again. Number one, you'll plateau. But number two, if you don't rest the muscle groups in between training days, you can get injured. So that's bad. You don't want to become, if you're really sore, you don't want to train that muscle again until it's no longer really sore. Granted, like Body Revolution, for example, that's ideal because what I was able to do was split up the muscle groups so that you were resting a muscle 2 days before you trained it again. Yeah. Another thing I try to do with my solo DVDs, like let's say a Ripton 30 DVD, I try not to overtrain one part of the body. So if it's a total body workout, it's way more about conditioning with strength training instead of isolating chest, just blowing chest out or blowing out the back. I try to make sure that we don't focus and really hammer one muscle group so that if you are doing that total body workout for a week, you won't get an injury. So that is something that you want to be mindful of. Now, with that said, let's talk about recovery. Here's the worst thing you can do. Don't take a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory or an NSAID. Ibuprofen, Motrin, Advil. The worst, the worst, the worst.
Wow.
The worst. Go to Google and Wikipedia NSAID and read all the studies. There are hundreds of studies that will show you that what these NSAIDs do is they actually inhibit your body's ability to repair itself. Tendons, muscles, ligaments, everything. Study after study after study. They're great for pain. Yeah.
I was just going to say, then what the hell are they good for?
No, they're good for analgesics. They're good for killing pain, but they're terrible for your actual body and for your recovery. So you really want to avoid, if at all possible, taking an NSAID or a non-steroid. It's also bad for your liver, your kidneys, your stomach. If you absolutely have to, I let my contestants take aspirin. Because overall, aspirin is good for your heart. Yeah. But the truth of the matter is, worst thing you can do. Next, people think, oh, well, a hot bath. No, has zero effect on soreness. Doesn't accomplish anything. Doesn't do anything. What you can do is ice immediately after you train. That helps really manage inflammation and swelling.
Which is why athletes, like football players.
Ice bath.
Ice bath. Which must be excruciating to get into.
I do it to the contestants. We have an ice bath. It's hysterical. God. They have to get in that sucker or make them get in there.
Oh, you're awful. But it totally takes the inflammation, right? Now, you're awful. Especially for the boys.
Oh, God. I never have boys on my team. The producers always make it so, like, I never have boys. Have you noticed that, Britt? Every season I have girls. Every season. Every season I end up with all girls.
Haven't you ever been to a polar bear swim?
No. What is that?
I have.
It's like in cold climates. You go out in your bathing suit like on January 1st.
At like 6 a.m.
In the morning. And you go swimming and it's freezing and people go in.
Why?
But the guys go in normal but they come out like chipmunks.
Why?
Because they're cold.
No, dude. I know about the whole testes situation. Oh. Why are they getting in the...
It's the polar bear swim. It's a thing people do in places where there's snow and stuff.
We did it in Oregon.
Why?
Yeah,
Northern Oregon.
It's for fun. For fun.
Did they have lower IQs in that part of the country?
No, it's a thing to do. It's like...
Really? Why don't you run into a burning building?
That's what else they do. No, I'm kidding. No, the polar bear swims all over the place. It's funny. It's funny to watch. People get dressed up. Sometimes they've had a few wobbly pops. Which isn't a... I don't recommend that. Anyway, you were talking about the ice bath, and I automatically thought of, squirrel little nut sacks.
Okay.
Oh, God. a squirrel sack.
All right. What was I talking about, Britt?
You were talking ice. About don't ice. Take
how to feel better.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so now here has what has been shown to work. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Massage. So 10 minutes of massage immediately after a workout has been shown to have the best recovery results than any other treatment, therapy thing you can do. If you don't obviously have a masseuse there who can rub you down after your workout, get a foam roller and roll it out. So like if you did legs, roll out your quads, your hamstrings, your back, your shoulders, everything, roll it out. Get a foam roller. You can get them online anywhere from $5 to $15. They have them in your gyms. It hurts kind of like a bitch, but.
Yeah, it can hurt like hell.
Even a broomstick or a mop stick is better than nothing.
A broomstick?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Rolling it. On the
oh, part. You take a broomstick and yeah. roll it on the mud. Yeah, she's not wrong. People do it with softballs, too.
Yeah.
Piriformis, like in the side of your glute. Yeah.
It hurts.
Man, it hurts like a you know what, but it really helps with recovery. Wow. Yeah, you want to essentially simulate a massage, a 10-minute massage on the muscles you just trained. Big, big difference. And you got the ice, right? You got the massage. And another thing is ginger. Studies say that eating an ounce of ginger before and after you train, fresh ginger, or like there's these little ginger chews, I think also you can get on Amazon, that have supposedly been able to help with muscle soreness and recovery. But no NSAIDs and no hot bath.
Wow, okay.
Hmm? Huh? Mm. Yeah.
That's the end?
Is that the end? That's the, of course, yes, I gave you five things. What, is not enough?
No, that's good. I was just wanting to know.
Why is it never enough?
Well.
Never enough for you. You're never happy.
No, I'm not happy a lot of times.
Just not here. Why are you eating M&Ms right now? How are you still here? How have I let you slide all these years?
I don't know.
Me either.
I ask myself that.
I think because when I look at you, it makes me feel better about myself.
I've known you for a long time. We started doing the Jillian Michaels radio show in 2006.
Is that
so? Do you realize
that? Oh, God.
2006.
Janice used to write, oh, my God, Britt. She used to pretend like she wasn't there, right? Because she was the producer
of the
show. I
wasn't allowed to talk.
And so she would write stuff on the chalkboard, right? So I'd know what to say next. So it would say, go to break. And then she'd write a tease. And it'd say, tease. You know, slim arms for summer. So I would look up at the board and I'd say, on the air, go to break, tease slim arms for
she
summer.
Read it verbatim.
I do remember the chalkboard.
She'd do it just to bug me. Then I talk and then I get in trouble for talking.
<It's true.
laughs> I'm like, I had to talk. Remember when we had to do fire coverage?
Oh my God! That was awful! Because the show was on KFI AM 640, right? It was like a news channel, and all of California was on fire.
Yeah, it was just, when it was brutal. It was just such a terrible, terrible fire.
Janice and I were watching the news.
We were doing the morning show, the Sunday morning
show. Sunday morning
show. 9 to 11, was it 9?
Yeah, 9 to 11.
And all of a sudden, the program director, Robin, calls and she goes, you guys can't be just talking about the show. And we went, you guys have to do coverage. And I went, what do you mean coverage? She goes, you guys have to cover the fire. We're a news talk station. You have to put the show aside for today and until you know the
Bill Handel comes in. Yeah.
You have to do fire coverage. So we went to break and Jillian and I looked at each other.
Yeah.
And Jillian says, I'm getting out of here. And he said, you are not. You're the host of the show. Get down. Sit down. So we turned on the TV.
And just started talking about smoke. I see a whole lot of smoke. Is that Malibu?
And then Jillian would go, Oh, I've been down that street.
Yeah.
Wow. So we did that for like an hour and a half.
Narrating the news.
That was the worst.
Oh, we were terrible.
Why do newscasters talk like this?
Today, we're going to see exactly what happens when Malibu is on fire.
It's a tease.
Coming up next.
That's a tease. What I wrote on the chalkboard. It's tease. To try and get people to come back and listen.
All right.
Now what?
Now.
Tease something.
Now, you know what we should do is we should talk to some folks.
Yeah. That's not a tease.
Yep. We're going to talk to some folks.
That's a crap tease.
So we are back, and Mary's waiting to talk to you.
Mary, what's going on?
Hi, not much. I was just wondering, my dad has been super sick for the past couple months, to the point where we don't know how long he's going to make it. The doctors actually came in today and said he could go as early as tonight.
Oh, my God, honey. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, it's tough, but he'll be in a better place, you know, and that gives me peace.
Yeah.
But during all of this, I have slacked off on working out. And
I'm sure.
Maybe in the past 2 months, I've gone walking about 5 or 6 times.
Yeah.
And that's from somebody who used to walk twice a day, every day, for an hour at a time.
Yeah.
So, and I guess maybe it's stress.
You think?
You know, I think so.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just because I'm so emotionally and mentally drained out from everything.
Yeah.
That I'm physically worn out. And
yeah.
On top of this, I have been, which I'm ashamed of it, and to this day, like, I want to kick myself in the ass for it. I have been a smoker since I was 17, so for 4 years.
Okay.
And more so in the past couple of months, like, to the point where it is one after the other. And I am eating nothing but crap, which I have lost 6 pounds, which feels great in my clothes. Like, I can wear a pair of skinny jeans I couldn't fit last fall.
Yeah.
But I know I'm not healthy. So I was wondering, like, how I can ease back into working out, but I fear weight gain, and I fear that, because what I used to do was I would work out constantly so I could eat whatever I wanted and however much I wanted of it.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Well, of course it does, because you're not trying to lose weight. So
right.
You create a calorie deficit and then say, well, I've earned this burrito. And quite honestly, you have.
Yeah.
It's called, that's why I call it balance. It's not about moderation. It's about balance.
If you're
fit and you're at a weight you want to be at and you burn 500 calories in a workout, well, you get to create, you know, the way to maintain your weight is to create a balance. So if you burn 3,000 calories in a day and you don't want to lose weight, you get to eat 3,000 calories in a day.
Exactly.
You know, the hope is that it's quality food. I don't want you to eat 3,000 calories of Doritos and pizza and soda.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you're not wrong about that. But I get what you're saying. To be truthful, there are many different ways to go about this. And you're going to have to pick the one that best suits your personality. So
Right. There
are some experts that will tell you, take it all on at once. That when you're in the mind frame of changing habits, it's best to go all in. And this is something that we do to the contestants. So if they're smokers, they're giving up smoking. I mean, they're giving up crap food. They're working out. It's the whole enchilada. And they don't have a choice. There's no smoking on the Biggest Loser ranch. So, and it tends to work for them because it's an incompatible behavior. So while they're working out and while they're getting healthy and while they're working on themselves, even though I'm sure they probably want a cigarette, number one, they don't have one there. So they're forced to kick the nicotine addiction. But from a behavioral perspective, it's helping them, because it's not conducive to the other healthy behaviors they're engaging in. So they might come out of a spin class and the last thing they want to do is light up a cigarette.
Right.
So one of the things that's really going to help you is once you start exercising again, It's going to help you with the cigarettes. And a lot of people don't quit smoking because they are so afraid they're going to gain weight. Yeah. It's not the cigarettes that's helping you lose the weight here, but I've known a lot of people that are heavy and smoke. It's the stress, man. You're stressed out, obviously. Mm-hmm. So what I would say to you is, the sooner you can, obviously, when the situation will permit for you to start exercising again, you're going to get those feel-good hormones off of the workouts. Right. It's going to be behaviorally contradictory for you to smoke. That'll help you with the smoking. And if you can find other ways to comfort yourself and manage the stress, I mean, whatever it might be, if there's a hobby, if there's something you love to do, if there's friends that help comfort you, if there's ways of distracting yourself that are life-affirming instead of self-destructive, you need to think about that and engage in it. There are other ways of doing this. Obviously, there are people that get on the patch. There are people that use the gum. Then you'll have experts that say, no, 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 you want to kick the nicotine cold. I've seen people do it every different way. I've seen them wean off the cigarettes daily, like, okay, I'm gonna reduce by one today, two tomorrow, three the next day. It really is up to you and your unique personality and how you're gonna respond to essentially the withdrawal and if it feels like a punishment to you or not. So what I can tell you for sure is, as soon as you can start exercising, start exercising, because it will any concern you have about weight gain, that will automatically negate, and it is incompatible with unhealthy behaviors like smoking. Then what I would do is I would contact, or I would go on the American Cancer Society's website, and they have a whole set of information there of different quitting strategies. I think there's even a hotline. Will you look, Britt? Check this out. I was an ambassador for the ACS years ago, and I remember doing a whole campaign, and I thought for sure they had a hotline. Brittany's pulling up the internet. 1 minute. And try, look and see which one of these is more, seems more palatable to you. More like, okay, that I can handle. That I can deal with. And another thing we'll do is we will send you, she's fit. What do you think we should send? I would send you Body Revolution, but...
Oh, my God. And see, I used to do your 30-day shred. I couldn't do it every day because I had terrible knees and a terrible back because I danced for so long.
You're 21!
I know! You're telling me!
Oh,
it's awful, but my knees, because I did point for so long, my knees and my ankles.
Send her killer abs. All right, we're going to send you killer abs. There's three.
Okay.
It's not just killer abs. It's obviously because to get killer abs, you got to burn body fat, but it is core specific. And then I want you to look at different smoking secessions. Is I saying that right? Secession programs. Pick one that's right for you. And the sooner you start working out, the better. But and looking for comforting alternatives that are life affirming.
Yeah.
I mean, honey, you're just going to have to. This is not going to be. It sounds like you. I'm just sorry. You're going to go through such a period.
It's definitely hard, but he has been fighting bone cancer for 2 years.
Ugh.
And it's tough, but, you don't want him to suffer.
No, I do understand either. That. Trust me, I do. There comes a point with these kinds of situations where you just want them to be at peace. I get
it.
I get it.
And it's almost harder to see them suffer than it is to just let them be in peace.
Oh, I know. Get it. I'm just sorry for you, bud.
Oh, thank you. But it'll get better with time.
Yes, it will. That's true. Just really try to nurture yourself and take care of yourself and be really loving with yourself right now.
Yeah, and I think that's where I failed. I was worried about taking care of my mom and my brother and my father that I forgot about myself.
Yeah.
Completely. So I need to start taking care of myself a little bit more, I think.
I think so, yeah. Jane smoking,
bad. I think a little bit. So, thank you for calling me.
My pleasure. Hang in there.
Good opportunity. Thank you.
All right, buddy.
Bye.
Oh, God, poor kid. She's 21.
A lot.
I feel like... she sounds like she's really holding it together. And I feel like when her dad is going to pass away, she's going to unravel.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Have you ever been there?
Yeah,
I've been there. Where you're like, I'm okay. I've resigned myself. I just don't want. And this is not with my father either. I've had to do this with animals where I'm like, it's better. It's better. And then when it actually happens, I've been hysterical.
Yeah, she's doing what she needs to do right now to get
function.
Through this day.
Yep.
And to be supportive, as she says, to be supportive for her, for her dad too.
Poor kid. God.
But she'll have, and you're right. She's going to go through.
Poor kid, man. Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Cool.
Well.
That's good. It's good, but
Well, I'm glad that she's thinking right now about okay, I have to start taking care of myself because it's like the storm's coming. You think you were in the storm then?
Yeah.
All righty.
She wants to chat to you.
I'm ready.
All right, Melinda, go for it.
Hi.
Hi, bud. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
I'm so excited and nervous.
Oh, don't be. Don't be nervous. Don't be nervous. Everything, it's like you can't do or say anything wrong. Don't worry about it.
Oh, thank you for choosing me. I'm so happy. Now I got the motivation.
Oh, well, I'm glad.
Oh, gosh.
So what was your question, Melinda?
Oh, my question was, I have a 2-year-old. She'll be 3 pretty soon.
Oh, congratulations.
And, yes,
you're
thank
in,
you.
Are you in terrible twos or is that just me?
Just you.
Oh, you! Oh, I'm so jealous. Okay, go on.
But anyway, I would like her to be, physical active, and I'm just wondering the type of exercise and shoes and all that sort of stuff and how to get her going. And is she too young to, do a little jog or walk?
No! The thing with kids is that you want them to essentially work with their own body weight. Tumbling, dance, swimming, running, climbing, playing, all of that is great for them. What you don't want them doing, obviously, is getting in the gym and throwing weights around. They can really hurt themselves. And obviously, their bones, their tendons and all of that. You don't want them doing any weightlifting, nothing like that. But I mean, they give at my daughter's preschool, they have a little yoga class. The moms will go in and do yoga with the kids. And I chase my kid around the beach like a crazy person. I run after her and she screams. And we go to the playground and she climbs everything and jumps up and down. My 6-month-old jumps up and down, jumps up and down and up and down all day long, screaming at the top of his lungs. All of that is fine. I would say, with regard to shoes, I mean, if you've got her in dance, she needs dance shoes. If you've got, if she's running around the playground and there's sand everywhere, I just take Lou's shoes off. But if she's jogging, playing with you outside, you can get her a little pair of kicks. I mean, K-Swiss sent me a ton of kicks for Lou. What size does your toddler wear?
She's a 7-8, about.
All right, I'll send you a pair of shoes for her from K-Swiss.
Awesome.
Yeah, they sent me a ton for Lou, and she loves them. They're like pink and silver, and blue. So,
yeah, we're outdoorsy people, so we like to go out for hikes and out for...
Oh, that's all great for your kid. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's all good stuff, and it gets them out into nature, and they love it. I mean, Lou's school is up in the mountains, and they take the kids on nature hikes all the time. That's all great. Just keep them out of the gym. Not that a toddler would be in a gym, but you don't want them lifting weights. That's all.
No.
Yeah, that's the only thing. And you want to keep it fun. You want to make it something they like, that's fun, that they enjoy. And that's the key.
Okay, awesome.
All right.
Thank you, Jillian. You're the best.
Hi, Jillian.
Hi. Oh,
that was my older daughter.
Oh, how old?
20.
20? Oh, you have a 20-year-old and a 3-year-old?
Yes.
Oh,
no.
Oh, my no. God. I don't know what. I don't know. A 20-year-old. Oh no. Is that worse than 3 or better?
Worse.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah, that's what I thought. They tell me, like, I keep waiting for, like, the reprieve, and they're like, no, it only gets worse. It only gets worse. Oh,
yes.
Man. Oh, buddy, you are one tough broad then.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm impressed. And you got the size, right, 70? We're going to call you back and get her size again and an address for you, and we'll send you some kicks for her.
Okay, awesome. Thank you, Jillian.
My pleasure.
Have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too.
Okay, thank you.
And bye.
Bye.
I love that. How cute is that?
Yeah.
I mean, a 20-year-old and a 3-year-old? What?
I know. Oh. I just decided to have a little rest in between.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, it's 17 years later.
I got a toddler. A baby.
I got
a baby. Oh, my God. Oh. Wowzers.
But yeah. I love that. I loved what you said, though, that kids like to use their own. How did you say that kids
body
like
weight.
To use their own
no,
body weight?
No, they should be tumbling, playing, dancing, climbing, running, jumping. Oh, that's great for them.
Yeah, it was
great
cool.
for them. You just don't, you know, they shouldn't be in a gym. They shouldn't be lifting any kind of weight. Although Lou, I can't believe how strong she is. She picked up a pumpkin. We were picking out pumpkins a little while ago.
The 50-pound pumpkin.
Yeah, she picks out a pumpkin and she goes, Evie. I was like, and I was watching her, man. She got all the way down. She like deadlifted that sucker. Got all the way down, dropped her bummy down and like used her legs. And I was like, there's no way this kid's getting it. Emmy, mama.
You know what, I love about Lou is that she hasn't quite got the first letter of the word
no,
yet.
No, she
I
can't.
Love that.
Everything like soap is dope. Yeah, no, she's no consonants. Everything's Evie. Eat. For, like trick or treat and eat. Yeah, no. You're not a consonant.
Oh, it's so
There's
cute.
A couple, though. She can say B. Uh-huh. She can say, so she goes, Bob. That's how she says Bob.
Bob.
Bob. Yeah. And like Heidi, when Heidi doesn't answer to mommy, she gets pissed. And she'll go, Heidi!
Heidi.
Heidi! Heidi! From the bottom of the stairs.
Heidi.
Yeah.
Heidi.
Yeah. It's unbelievable.
Oh, it's cute. Well, Melinda was very cute. That was a fun call.
Oh, Lord. All right. Now what?
Now you must go.
Fine.
You must go down the road. off to your home.
Yeah. What?
I don't know where you're going. You go all kinds of places.
Down the road.
You always scoot out of here real
home.
Fast.
All right.
All right. All right. Well, we'll see you around. See you next time on the Jillian Michaels Show.
Why haven't we fired her yet?
She spoke words that would melt in your hands, and she spoke words of wisdom to the basement people.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.